This is the Samoan Submission Machine, Samoa Joe, and you are listening to Royal Ramblings.
Hello, this is the man who will not die, Matt Hardy, and you are listening to the Royal Ramblings of Robert and Danny.
I'm Robert.
This is Danny.
Hello.
We are the Royal Ramblings. As ever, you can contact us at royalramblings@gmail.com. You can tweet us at royal_ramblings. I've got that the right way around this time, Danny. Yeah, sometimes. I get that. And we are joined, we're honoured to be joined by the British wrestling legend, Mr. Marty Scurll. How you doing, my friend?
That's quite the introduction, thank you.
Well, we truly are honoured. As our loyal listeners know, we like to record our podcasts in spectacular places.
We've
recorded them just under Boris Johnson, the Mayor of London's office. We've recorded them in Members of Parliament's office. We are once again in the House of Commons, looking over the Thames.
Yeah, I think last time I did a podcast was with Colt Cabana, and it was in like a dirty travel lodge somewhere. So, yeah, you step things up, impressed.
Absolutely. And we've just given Marty a tour of the House of Commons. What did you think?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, it was fantastic. Really interesting. It's like, as a wrestler, it's not something like a kind of, you know, it doesn't happen to me a lot, do you know?
No, absolutely, absolutely. So our friend Richard Parliament likes to come here. Maybe we could set up a ring in Westminster Hall and the two of you.
He was actually on my show a while ago, actually, on my TV show, and yeah, quite a lot to say, actually. He's an interesting cat, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
So tell us, I was interested in the villain, because you were Party Marty, that was your gimmick. So how do you now, you've metamorphose into the villain.
Yeah.
Well, how did that come about? Why did you change?
I just grew up, I think. I've matured. No, just, you know, you need to, I'm a big believer in, you know, kind of switching things up, you know, moving with the times, not getting complacent, you know. I've done that character for quite a long time. And it just seemed like the right time to switch things up, you know. And, you know, like, you know, obviously I have aims and things I want to achieve. And, you know, if I'm not doing stuff, if I'm staying in the same role and nothing's happening, I need to change things up, you know. So it just seemed like a kind of natural progression.
So what do you prefer playing? A goodie or a baddie? A hero face?
Probably, I guess I like being the bad guy, I guess. Now, it's easier to get people to dislike you than it is to like you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially for me. So, I'm fine doing both. But I'm really enjoying my current role at the moment, I must admit, other than having to carry around that fur coat everywhere, which is an absolute nightmare. But for the most part, I do really enjoy my character now, and I think it's kind of, it's a natural progression as well, like where I've been moving higher up in the cards and stuff, like it's a more kind of main event sort of type character, and that has happened as well. So it just seems there's more kind of possibilities with that than the previous gimmick as such, and there's more places I go with it and everything else, so it's definitely been like I said, a progression.
You talk about moving up the roster, you are headlining many shows now, fighting the likes of Alberto De Rio and things like that. So what's it like now being main eventing?
I hate it. I like going on first and going home after. No, I don't like there's a lot more pressure going on like sort of main event roles, you know what I mean? But
that quote about Jim Ross said to people, going on first is the best thing, because you've instilled the show from everybody else. They've all got to get up to your level.
Yeah, especially with the standard of work over here is so high now as well. Like, by the time I'm going on last a lot of times, it's, you know, there's a lot for me to follow. But it's a good pressure as well. It sounds like I'm blowing smoke up my own ass, but like what's the word I'm looking for? It's a good reflection of my work, the fact that obviously, like, I know I'm not obviously considered a heavyweight yet. I keep putting like heavyweight roles and main events, you know what I mean, style matches. So I think, you know, that kind of obviously maybe, you know, speaks some sort of volumes about my work. But it's funny actually, in Bret Hart's book he's like, everywhere in the world I wrestle, because everyone wants to be on last, everyone wants to be in the main event. He goes, other than England, he said, everyone would go on first so they could go back home and get back for the normal jobs the next day, which I thought was funny. But being top of the cards, especially like you said, like you know, being top of the cards when you're working with talents like Del Rio and, you know, these other guys, is certainly so.
you told us that you like you, because related to your shoulder injury that you tried to work a lot safer. You said when you were in doing the HuffPost interview with us. Do you find there's a temptation because you're in the main event to have to try and do more crazy things to try and get the pops, or can you still work safe even though you're in the main event?
If I never really attempt to get pops, I try to get heat. It's something about women and I in a crowd, but I generally, I want to get the crowd to care, whether that's hate me or love me or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, there is a pressure and whatnot, but I think I've been working this, a long time now, so I can be more sort of creative in the ways and how I get those reactions from the crowd. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the sort of story I tell. That's what I want to do. I want to be there and tell the best story and get people, most emotionally involved. And I want people to remember me, do you know what I mean, as well. I want people to remember my matches and, loads of big moves that would be thrown away and you can forget, but certain moments, hopefully people will remember and they'll stick with people.
Atomic drop onto the traffic cone.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from, yeah.
Using the umbrella to poke one of the London riots in the crotch.
Yeah,
that was
that's really getting excited, yeah. Do you know what? That's another deal as well. I've been through, if you know any umbrella sponsorships or any umbrella companies, please get in touch. I've been through a million umbrella startups, set me now, because not only do I forget them a lot, I leave them at shows, but I break a lot of them as well. So, it started ages ago. I brought an umbrella to the rig, just I don't even know why.
It's a new line of merchandise for you.
Well, there we go. Yeah, so a lot of people said that. Actually, Vince Russo said it to me a few days ago. But I brought one to the show and I was like, oh, my friend was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then I remember I was wrestling in Newcastle and I was flying there and I was like, oh, I can't bother to bring my umbrella. It's just another thing to carry. And I flew into Newcastle and I got a tweet saying, I can't wait to see Marty Scurll tonight, his umbrella. So I was like, I was shot by another one. So, yeah, it's a bit of a pain to carry around.
So this has been the first podcast we've done in the new year. We've been a bit slack over the last few weeks. So I thought it would be a good time to review what's been going on in the wrestling world, as I said, over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
We had the big announcement that finally arrived, the WWE Network.
19th of January.
19th of January. Don't you think it's going to be a success over here?
£9.99? I don't know. We were talking earlier. You were saying that it was $9.99 in the States. So, I don't know. It's steep. But the truth is, I'm probably going to get it. I mean, I want to see the Royal Rumble. I want to watch WrestleMania. I want to watch it on my computer. I'm probably going to get it.
But are you not going to buy just a couple of pay-per-views? The Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, and then that's it? Do you get every pay-per-view?
You get all the pay-per-views on it.
I appreciate that, but you won't spend as much money if you just buy the couple of main pay-per-views.
Yeah, but you get the catalogue of stuff, Total Divas.
That's the real reason why we're getting... That was where I was getting to, yes.
Yeah.
Martha, you think you'll sign up?
I don't actually own a TV in my room or anything. I'm not a big TV person. But
you get on your iPads or your phone.
Yeah, I might do actually. Maybe I will. Do you want to see, it's one of those things where I think the network, essentially though, it is kind of for, it's not for a casual fan of wrestling. It is for, a hardcore kind of wrestling, nerd who's going to want to watch, old matches from back in the day and stuff, because obviously you get, there's so much program on TV anyway, so you do it on TV.
But you can get most old wrestling matches on YouTube now, can't you?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to find it very difficult. I don't know whether I can justify spending, and it's only $9.99 a month, but justify spending.
You're going to let me buy it.
And then share. Absolutely.
I think it's one of those things where, £10 a month or whatever, I guess it's not much, but I guess if you pay for everything else, it kind of does add up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
There's only so much you can. You can watch it, I suppose.
And you made a key point earlier. It doesn't include Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
And so...
If
you were the avid fan, you've then got to buy Sky on top of that. To get Sky Sports is quite an expensive package.
Yeah.
So you're talking quite a lot of money a month to be a real wrestling fan.
But the thing, I think it's completely necessary for Vince McMahon and everyone else to go down that route, because that's obviously the way television's moving forward, so obviously he's trying to step onto it now. But everything eventually will be on the bottom, I would assume, I would assume next 5 years will be everyone on smart TV. So I think it's, one of those things where he needs to, he's trying to drop the gun and, get ahead and get on it now, because I think that is the kind of future, I guess.
Well, we'll see, because we know what WWE are like. They do something crazy, the ex-American football thing?
XFL,
bodybuilding.
My favourite was the bodybuilding league.
So that they announce all these things, spend loads of money on it, and then it quietly disappears in a little while. But they seem to be pushing. We'll see.
I don't think it's going to disappear. I think it would do. But they had to get, was it like a million? Was it a million subscribers to?
Yeah, they announced to their shareholders they hadn't hit the target.
But they wasn't far off. There was like 750,000 or something.
Yeah.
I think it will grow.
Do we know what their target is for the UK?
No, I don't know.
But this will be the third time, right? They're trying to launch in the UK.
Yeah. Because when we went, WWE very kindly invited us to their house show at Wembley.
Oh, is it that show as well?
And we met the lovely Bella Twins.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
that's right. I'm jealous. Yeah, I'm friends with Paige, so she invited me down to the show.
Oh, okay.
So I hanged out with her a few, but I didn't meet the Bella Twins.
Rob is convinced that one of them gave him a cheeky bus squeeze.
Yeah, she did. It's not like it. That's what happened.
Where did you meet them? On the backstage?
They had like a reception beforehand. Okay. And
Funny enough, when I went there, I went to queue for I had tickets on the door for me, and I stood there. And then, do you remember Alexandra Burke? She was standing next to me.
Yeah, I saw her.
I was too intimidated to ask for a selfie.
I know, silly
like that.
So, as I was saying, Vince had to come out and give an apology, or was on the screen. I thought that was crazy. Yeah, and so.
I thought that was really bizarre that he did that.
Yeah. Well.
Just booed.
He was just booed anyway. So, on the other wrestling company, TNA, had their big move to Destination America.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite successful as they'd hoped, Danny, did they?
Well, the ratings, depends who you listen to, but a third of what they had, more or less.
Was that's not success by anyone's. Now, I understand.
Yeah, but that was to be predicted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From what I understand, and our friend Chuck Rice, who does the Wrestling Compadres podcast in America, was saying to us when he was on our show, Destination America is a very small channel. It doesn't have the same ratings as they had before. So they were going to take a hit, but I don't think they were expecting to take such a big hit, especially after they'd signed back Angle and all the rest of the wrestlers that were there.
I kind of thought that was a weird move, and they kept announcing on the internet, like, we've re-signed this guy, re-signed that guy. I thought that was, I don't know why they needed to let people know that. It's like, why is the whole company in jeopardy then? Do you know what I mean? Like, it seemed like a very strange move. It was re-signed, Jesse got it.
Who cares?
I don't really understand why they did that. So, you kept hold of your own talent. Like, you know, like,
you spent some time in TNA.
Mm-hmm.
What were they like as a company? What was it like to work for?
Yeah, it was good. It was really great time. Plus, when I was working for them, my very short stint, they had a lot more going for them, I think, then as opposed to now. Obviously, they started like Sting there, Hogan, Van Damme, loads of top guys, do you know what I mean? So, it was interesting for me for that, being around those guys. In terms of now though, I don't know. I mean, I have a lot of friends there and stuff. But like you said, that the new channel move and stuff, I don't know how it's gonna affect them in the long run,
I think they will move away from their TV show, and they already do this and put more effort into the live show. It's when you go and see a TNA show, it's not just about the wrestling. They have a free fans party beforehand, and they have DJs and things like that. And so I would imagine they're going to focus more on that.
GFW is going to cause some trouble because I reckon that's going to be big. I know Jarrett is, the media blitz that he did was incredible.
He did a really good job at Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, I was going to come on to Wrestle Kingdom and say that was a great success for them. Mm. People watching Japanese
The Young
wrestling.
Bucks, that first match, I don't know if you've seen it, but it is unbelievable.
Yeah, some pretty
incredible stuff. Yeah, they're
intense.
Do they have
the numbers? Because that was on an iPad view, was it?
I don't know. I haven't seen the numbers, actually.
I want to say 9,000. Something like that, yeah.
Is that America? Or?
That was America.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was more than that. To be fair, like, teenagers do pay-per-views from 12,000.
Yeah.
You buy race, didn't they? So, that's national TV. So,
I'm still interested to see where GFW goes because they haven't announced any shows themselves yet. It's just been about promoting
this. This is the year they're going to roll it out. And AJ Styles will be on their list almost certainly.
I hope that happens.
And if Jim Ross is commentating for them, that would be brilliant. So.
I hope something that happens really does. Like, I'm sure there was a thing that Jeff was going to buy TNA, obviously, didn't work out, but. I hope it does. I mean, it's been going on for a while, hasn't it?
And Rev Pro are going to benefit because Doug Williams has sorted out Rev Pro and NGW doing.
Oh yeah,
they're doing similar stuff to what they did for Wrestle Kingdom 9. And those
that's cool. Well, I know Jeff Jarrett fairly well, and speak to him every now and then. Hopefully, still will come from me. I hope so. Any kind of competition or big companies is good. It's good for business. So.
hope something comes from it, definitely. And Jeff, he seems to have half clue what he's doing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So you touched on it earlier about the British scene at the moment, the strongest it's been for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I don't know. It just seems to be... I don't know if it's a big part of it is maybe people over here do want alternatives and there's no real other alternative.
Mm-hmm.
In NSL's DNA, I guess. So they're looking for local,
I think
live shows and stuff.
For me, it's the regionalisation of it is where you've
possibly
got the Preston, you've got
yeah.
the Glasgow
yeah, I guess
base,
it's a lot of
and that's
company,
yeah, that's what I believe. Right? I don't know if you agree.
For me, it's just you can get to see this stuff. You go down on a Saturday night when WWE are only here twice a year. You get to see this stuff up front. The wrestling is quality. We were talking about IPW earlier, where Martin wrestled and. It's incredible. It was a full-on tables, ladders and chairs match. It was arena quality match. Brilliant stuff.
You didn't have to blow smoke up his ass. He'd say that enough himself.
But it was a great match. This is the thing. You go along, you see great wrestling, what's not to like?
Yeah, I don't know. I understand your point. I'm not sure why it's been a real sort of influx in there. I don't know. It's bizarre, but I guess it's just a lot of companies have got to see, got their act together. Everyone's... I think as well, the wrestling's got better, and I think that there's a lot more people coming through now because this has been a lot more guys, signed with WWE. It seems a lot more achievable, so there's a lot more guys over here kind of busting their asses and everything else. But stuff like ICW, Progress, Riff Pro, Preston City, Progress sold out there. Next ballroom show, the show after that in March, just sold out 36 minutes.
Yeah.
It's just insane.
It's brilliant.
It's crazy on parts like that, do you know what I mean? I don't know how. Yeah, I don't know. It just seems to be hot at the moment. I hope it stays away, doesn't it?
As we talk about hot British wrestlers, I think it's time that we listen to the hottest of the British wrestlers at the moment. Our friend of the podcast, Richard Parliament. He does a weekly Richard Parliament question time for us, and I think he's setting out his aims for the next year. So let's listen.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It is I, Richard Parliament, the UK's only wrestler and politician. And you're listening to the Royal Ramblings podcast. And this is question time with me, Richard Parliament. Yeah! So basically, this is a segment where I answer your questions via Twitter and hopefully give you all a better education. So the only question I'll be answering this week is what is my New Year's resolution? So, ladies and gentlemen, I have two goals in life. One is to become the Prime Minister of this great country, and two is to be signed up by a big global wrestling promotion. So, basically, I'll be trying to take all the necessary steps forward I can in order to achieve both these goals this year. So, in the coming months, I shall be planning a political campaign, approaching the May general election. So if possible, I would like you to please all stay tuned, keep listening to this podcast, keep looking at my Twitter, and basically if you stay tuned, you'll shortly be able to hear about how you can all get involved and help me hopefully achieve this goal. I need each and every one of you behind me for this, please. Next on the agenda, as I said, I want to be signed up by a big promotion. This has been the goal for a long time now, and I just need to close in on this. So if you would like to support me on this, you can come watch me at local wrestling shows all over the country. I will just run through a couple of dates with you, see if you're interested. For any Northern listeners out there, I shall be wrestling for Worldwide Wrestling in Barnsley on January the 31st. This will also be an opportunity for you people to see the Unnatural Disasters. They are Britain's largest tag team, and they were also contestants on TNA British Bootcamp. February the 1st, you can catch me for LDN Wrestling in the historic Fairfield Halls in Croydon. Week after that, if you want to see me in action, February the 8th, you can catch me at Future Pro Wrestling in Wellington. They have a big bill, as far as I'm aware, so that show could be very interesting indeed. A further one, the 21st, up in Holt, in Norfolk, I shall be wrestling for Falling Star Wrestling. So I'm sure I will have more February wrestling dates, and January too. Stay tuned, and I shall be regularly posting them on my Twitter. So thank you for supporting me in wrestling. Thank you for supporting me in politics. And I hope you all have a new year as good as I am going to have. This has been Richard Parliament. This has been Question Time. Yeah.
Thank you very much for that, Richard. As ever, you can hear him on our podcast weekly. I think we've got reservations for lunch, so we are going to end the podcast on that. If there's anything else you'd like to add to it today?
No, thanks for, you know, thanks for talking to us.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for the tour today around the environment. It's really, really interesting. We appreciate it.
Absolutely our pleasure. Until next time. Thank you.